This is Hackerspace Digest, episode number 17, for Thursday, November 17th. Hackerspace Digest is a semi-weekly podcast recorded by members of Makers Local 256 in Huntsville, Alabama. Check out makerslocal.org for more information about us. I am Matt, also known as Brimstone Online. Rest him to my left, we have...
I'm Nathan, also known as Jim Shoe. This music is killing me.
All right.
And I think to my left, or wait, my port side?
Correct.
Port?
That would be port, yeah. Tim, also known as Crash Card Online.
He's also on the board. Yeah. There's the board over there.
Board, as we mentioned.
Okay. Sorry, you just started it like very like low and like high. Welcome to Makers Local.
I think that was
welcome to Hackerspace Digest.
I think we barely held it together through that too. That was awesome.
This is Matt from Makers Local 256, and you're on the line. All right.
Thought it fit the music, so
yeah.
Okay, so what we're listening to?
Just should we talk about everybody. The music first? Yeah.
Okay, so I had mentioned the music last week. So what we're listening to is actually Awk sending directly out to Pulse Audio.
Nice. Like how much Awk?
it's a couple of lines. There's a link to the line in the show notes.
So this is all just programmatically generated.
Yep. Completely random, endless, unlicensed.
Perfect. Unlicensable.
Yeah, unlicensable.
Perfect for us.
You guys are a little loud for me. Okay.
Okay.
So, what's going on this week? Or 2 weeks?
Well, for Makers Local 256 update, we just had an open house. Seemed like a successful event. Actually brought people here.
Yeah, it turned out a lot better than I expected. It was on a Friday instead of a Saturday. Yep. It was just like after work instead of all day Saturday, kind of a lunch, afternoon, dinner thing that we've done before.
That might have helped us some.
I think it gives you a chance to hit a different crowd, at least, if anything else. Not everyone's available on a Saturday.
Right.
But.
And instead of cooking a pig, we did turkey. Or not turkey, we did gumbo. God.
Yeah.
What was in the gumbo? There was like a turkey in the gumbo, wasn't there?
I believe there were at least three meats.
I thought you said no fowl.
Yeah.
Right, we are on air. Okay. Nothing fowl.
So
the
gumbo.
Gumbo. I said jumbo for some reason. Was very good.
Yes. Made by one of our members, Pro.
I have to admit, like, I know this is gonna sound weird, but I think like the best thing was the hot chocolate.
Really? I actually did not have any of the hot chocolate.
It was just really good. I know it was just like, you know, the store bought like cheap stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it was just like I haven't had hot chocolate in like a year, and I just really wanted hot chocolate. But
that's awesome. But
it was cooked in a crock pot.
Yes.
Wow. Well, it was cooked on the stove, and then it was kept heated in a crock pot. So
instead of just like boiling water and dumping it in and saying "have fun,"
right?
So maybe it was stronger than you expected.
I don't know. I could have just been needing hot chocolate and hadn't had it in like
Jones
and
for hot chocolate.
Like, argh, I need hot chocolate.
This the open house has the distinction of being, I think, the first open house we've done in this space.
And yeah. Also the first time we've had the cops called on us.
That's very true. We had the cops called on us. Our neighbor.
Right, we did wake her up from a sleep
with a jet engine.
It was also 7 o'clock at night.
That's true.
Right, but she was an elderly lady. She was sleeping, and I mean, she doesn't live next to an airport. I'm sure she wasn't expecting to be woken up by a jet engine.
But she lives in the Rocket City.
This says value. And really,
it wasn't a rocket engine. It was a jet engine.
Okay, fine. She should have expected a rocket engine.
Correct.
And be thankful it wasn't.
Right. And it was, what, 5 feet from her house? So
yeah,
it was a little close.
Just happened to be where the driveway is.
Let's be honest. I mean, the driveway and her house. Like, I don't know how they built this building.
Yeah.
It is literally, like, right next to two houses.
Yeah.
There's, like, maybe a foot between those houses.
Our south wall is in her bedroom already. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our west wall
is
right on the other property line.
Yeah.
Right.
The building is backed up to the property line.
It's crazy. I don't know how they pulled that off. But
I agree.
I guess it was different times.
Yes. But
times with less jet engine.
Why did we have a jet engine here?
We have friends in town. Project Halo had been building. They do a lot of DIY stuff, and that fits our group. That fits what we do. We profess to use DIY technologies, music.
Yeah, music.
And so they came out and tried to demo some of that for us during our event. It was a crowd pleaser, certainly. I mean, everybody was out there watching this.
Actually, I walked out like right as the neighbor was walking over.
Yeah.
And they kind of cut it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go back inside now.
Yeah.
I was out there before they got started, and the crowd was just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
A couple of people walk out and say, "What's going on?
What's going on here? Yeah.
What's going on, guys?"
It was pretty cool. It was a little. It was more. There was more functionality. I don't want to say functionality. It was the rocket. What do we have? Like
bells and whistles.
The jet engine. But no. The was it in the suitcase that we had previously?
Oh yeah. The suitcase rocket motor. We've had demoed our old space. We had much more of a yard and fewer neighbors.
Yeah.
And yeah, we demoed that.
The only neighbor we had there was the police station. But
yes. And that's actually something I was going to mention about our neighbor as well, that I find it impressive that it was the jet engine that set her off, because we've been here for months now, and we haven't been quiet. We've been in here at 1 a.m. welding and grinding and doing everything else.
Usually the doors are closed and there's not.
And the aforementioned wall that is outside her bedroom window. No insulation, has no. So I'm just saying, I'm impressed that for so long it hasn't been an issue.
But that was it.
Right.
And that was this
one
was
jet
it.
Engine over the line.
Yes. And it wasn't a noise complaint either from her. It was a safety complaint.
It was an OMG, you have kids and a jet engine.
Yes. So, but the event brought people out. Get them in the shop. In fact, two people who had been hanging out filled out applications for membership.
They committed.
They committed. They said, cool. Yes, we're joining.
Pulled in a couple of bucks.
That's what you want to do. Yep, pulled in a couple bucks. So that's what you want to do with an event.
Cleaned up a lot.
Yeah.
Finished off the E-room.
Got some facilities projects finished out of that. I don't like how I sound right now.
We didn't tweak this enough.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got open house. Anybody else have anything else to say about it?
It was cool. It was a lot of people.
Yeah.
Way more than I expected. The hot chocolate was good.
Like 40 people or so. Did anybody get a head count?
I don't think so. No.
Oh.
No. All right. Well, let's run into the stories, I guess.
Cool. Play the music a little bit like a bumper.
Okay. Stories. Yeah, stories. Oh, stories.
Okay, so I'll lead off.
Yep.
Found a... See, this was Thingiverse, right? This is indestructible. This is a Thingiverse. Some guy posted a OpenSCAD-ready DFX file of mini T-slot beams that you can print. It looks really similar to the 8020 T-slot.
Okay, yeah.
But it doesn't have the center hole for that perpendicular alignment. So, but I mean, you could drill that post-haste.
Oh, yeah.
So that was
cool.
That's
neat.
And you can print it with your MakerBot. And I was thinking it would be neat to take this and then cast it. Because it is basically a two-dimensional shape. You can just print out 6 inches or whatever, sink it into the sand almost completely, and then pull it back out, you know, after the sand rehardens around it.
Yeah,
and then just pour your aluminum into it, and you've casted 6 inches of T-slot.
It's the same kind of thing that it's taken on that 2D shape, like you say, that in real manufacturing, they extrude it usually so that they can just run long lengths of it and cut it. But you're right. We can take aluminum other cookies. Methods and there's I've seen some of the really big 3D printers, the custom-built ones that people have done. I bet you could just do a tall run of this out of the plastic as well, if you were so inclined to have ABS T-slot beams.
Yep. But and I don't know the price on ABS, so I don't know if that would be cheaper or what, but 80/20 is expensive.
Point. Yeah?
Yeah.
I know they like to talk about the comparisons, and I'm not... It doesn't compare well for us, because they were showing... At one piece of literature I was reading on the 80/20, they want to compare, you know, putting together this frame out of 80/20 cost-wise versus putting it together, welding it out of, like, steel bar stock. And I'm thinking, how are they getting this price on the steel bar stock? We always just use scrap material and weld those frames together. Yeah. So we're already scrounging pieces that we can weld together. So, of course, that's less expensive.
Right. Yeah, and they're comparing, like you said, aluminum to steel, too.
Yeah.
Those are two different metals with two different prices.
I know.
So.
But, yeah.
I thought that was neat.
That's true. It is neat. And I like that this kind of segues into your next bit.
Yeah, there's a discussion poll on Thingiverse that basically said that they were questioned, do they need to restrict things on Thingiverse? Specifically weapons, and somebody has uploaded the lower arm of an AR-15.
Okay, yeah.
So...
And that's... I kind of understand. In my own experience, I've been to a talk that talks about building an AR-15.
Right. Is that the piece that makes the gun a gun? Because in that talk, there's one
Right, that's
one
what they
piece.
Were talking about.
Yeah,
it's one piece. It's not the butt. It's not the barrel. It's not the this. It was what's it called? The receiver,
yeah.
And it's literally just this bent piece of metal
right.
that connects everything. And
that's the part.
Okay, so yeah, you could totally 3D print that.
You can mail order the rest of the parts.
You mail order
and
the
then you 3D print the one part you can't.
And now you have an assault weapon that you legally didn't register, doesn't have a serial number.
Well, you don't need to. There's no serial number on
right.
it.
Right.
I don't know that I would try to shoot a gun that was made out of.
That's a valid point. Yes.
Cast it. That what?
Cast it at that point.
Well, right. Okay, but
you've got the plastic.
But that brings up the question, right? Should is it freedom of speech? Is Thingiverse freedom of speech?
Yeah.
I guess the same questions start. It opens the door. You know, do we restrict copyright material or patented material?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be...
Can I print
Thingiverse
Nikki?
Would get a DMCA takedown to say, please take this down, and then they... if they're in the U.S., they would need to respond to that. So it's not...
So if I upload Mickey Mouse, they could...
Right. If Disney was like, hey, you need to take this down, this is our copyrighted material, then I think legally they're supposed to take that down.
Speaking of Disney and 3D printing, I recommend everybody read Makers by Cory Doctorow.
Correct. Correct.
Because they touch on exactly that.
They do. No spoilers, though. I'm actually at that part in the book. Anyway.
I just finished it like 2 nights ago.
Oh, cool.
I think that... I don't really know.
You don't know what to think about it.
Well, I want to say that, yeah, they should probably... they should probably limit some of the things that that you could upload there. But I also like the one sentence in here. It was like, in fact, if you shoot anything on Thingiverse fast enough, it could hurt somebody.
Correct.
But yeah, I can think of several different like office Correct. Weapons that you could then
right.
construct.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I mean, if you print a long rod of T-slot beam. And hit someone with it, it's now a bludgeon.
Exactly. Everything can be turned into a brute force melee weapon.
But I guess there is a different spirit when what you're printing is a gun.
It's intended to be a weapon.
Right.
You're not like a toy weapon. This is intended
to
shoot something.
No, this fires bullets. Yeah. Right. So that is a different argument. I'm not sure where I come down on that one either, actually. Yeah. I'm there's a lot of me that would scream, you know,
live
free freedom. You know, yeah, live free or die is what a lot of me would scream.
It's and the motto you grew up under.
Correct. But I can I definitely see their point. I'm not gonna belittle them. This is a great argument, you know. Do you allow this or not? What do you think?
I don't know. That's where it gets weird, because like
we all
I could
don't know.
Print the yeah. part, right, and assemble this AR-15 and have absolutely no intention of shooting somebody with it. I think that's
yeah.
where it comes down. It's like, is this part specifically designed to kill a person? Mm. And then some people can say, is this part specifically designed to kill an animal of any type?
Sure.
Well, here's comment 3 is like, weapons are off for me. If I were a school, I'd run a mile away from this website if there were weapons on it.
Exactly.
So if you're a school and you're like, hey, kids, you know, I'll teach you how to 3D print. We're going to, you know, this is new stuff that's coming out. And they're like, oh, look, I can make a gun and bring it to school.
That's an excellent point as well, that some of the access is what's at question here. I can look at it and I can say, you know, all right, so I could print the receiver for an AR-15, you know, and I can say, is it wrong for Thingiverse to have that? And when I'm talking about it, I know that I could make that receiver anyway, whether they're providing it or not. You're not stopping me from getting an unregistered assault weapon.
Right.
But that's me. That's not a 12-year-old kid.
Right.
Yep. And that might be where this is a better
yeah,
targeted
I guess
issue.
It depends on what, you know, what their target audience is. If their target audience yeah. is a population of people that is just looking to use this technology
yeah.
and use these items to, you know, better the world, I guess you could say.
Right.
I don't know that an AR-15 belongs in that.
Right.
But now on, you know, not thingiverse.com, it could.
Printableweapons.com.
Right.
That might be the answer.
Spin off.
$12.95 a month. Legal U.S. residents only. I don't know.
Maybe we should create our own top-level TLD to segregate all these off so it's easier to block in the schools.
We have dot hackerspace?
Yeah. No, dot printed.
Dot printed.
Oh. Oh
okay. Dot printable.
Okay. Yeah, dot printable.
Yeah.
Know, man. Like, it's weird.
It does.
Anyway, something to think about.
Yes.
Moving on.
Moving on.
What are my notes
on
this?
Space camp?
Yes. School Factory, which is an interesting conglomeration of a couple of different spaces. We've talked about them before. Is hosting a space camp. That's what they've called it. A camp for spaces.
Okay. Is this the space... Wait. This is the one that announced that they needed... They were looking for a venue, correct?
Right.
Okay. Just making sure.
Did I talk about this one before? I don't think
we
I did.
We touched on it, but this is great that they have... I guess they found a venue?
I haven't heard that they've actually found a place yet. They're still... Well, they're looking and they want to know what are the attributes of a proper hackerspace village.
Ah.
Because they're going to try to be similar to CC Camp and the meetup that we did.
Yes.
But they want to, instead of taking a con and adding a hackerspace, they want to take a hackerspace village and turn it into a con.
Okay.
So, and talking with Willow there, one of the main organizers for this, she had mentioned that ideally it'd be held in something like a museum where there's already a really strong, like, creative and...
Like an art museum?
Art museum or Rocket Center over there.
Well, yeah. Rocket Center would be awesome. Right near Space Camp.
Ba-dum.
Yeah. Space Camp at Space Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, look for that sometime in 2013 probably. I don't think they're going to
get
completely organized in 2012, but they're looking for input on what other spaces and other people would like to see out of this.
I
to make
see.
It all that it can be.
Wow. I guess we should get talking to them.
We should.
So that we don't feel left out of everything.
Exactly. In fact, they wanted vector drawings of our floor plans, which is why I finally kicked you and got one.
Oh, okay.
And then I totally dropped the ball on uploading that.
Okay. You want vectorized, though?
I think they wanted
mine's
vectorized.
Mine's rasterized.
Yeah.
We could probably do vectorized.
Yeah, I've converted to vector before, so it's not terribly difficult.
All right, cool. Yeah.
So that's also something to look into, give your 2 cents.
Yep. Get involved with the community.
Yep.
Do it.
So speaking of doing, what have you been reading recently?
Too? I've been reading Hack This, 24 Incredible Hackerspace Projects from the DIY Movement. I just noticed this book earlier this week, actually, and it was just published last month, and it's available on Amazon. It's pretty new. It's written by, I'm not going to get this guy's name right, John B.
Bachtel?
Yeah, Bachtel.
I like that. I was Bachtel. Flipping through it last night, and I saw one of the projects was like a MAME cabinet.
Yes.
And there's apparently, I didn't actually go to the website, but there was a link in the website on all of the, I guess, the schematics and blueprints and stuff to build this MAME cabinet that looked really nice. Like, it's from scratch MAME cabinet. Not
and it includes...
Go out and get a cabinet and then convert it, but this is, like, from scratch.
Exactly. There's a lot of great projects in it, but one of the things that's really notable about this book is that it's really not about... The book itself as a whole is not even about projects. You know, this isn't a how-to book unless you want to talk about how to become a hackerspace. He touches so much on hackerspaces in general and hackerspace culture, you know.
I'm giving you questionable eyes, Tim.
You are.
Who's not in person with us. What do you mean it's not about projects? Its tagline says 24 incredible hackerspace projects.
So, okay. Very good point. He does. He talks about projects, and this is just something I've talked with a couple other people about the book itself now, online, and they just had that same reaction that it's not a how-to book. So,
okay. So what is it? Is it just like
it's
a description?
But yes, it's description.
Summary, pictures.
Right. He'll go through a summary. He'll go through what you need to build it. What they went through to build it, but primarily, like, even at the start of every project, like, okay, here's a project, White Star Transatlantic Balloon. So it's a weather balloon, like we've been involved with.
There's a nice picture
on the
front.
There's a nice picture. It's all to give you a further book review. It's all glossy pages, full color.
Ooh.
Quality book from
how many pages?
Q Publishing.
It's like half an inch thick.
So I can use those to print PCBs then.
You could, yes. This is the kind of paper you could use for PCB etching for that style of. But anyway, I digress. So looking at this transatlantic balloon, right, and right away the author goes into the hackerspace that built this project is Level One out of Louisville, and he talks about Louisville and their hackerspace. And how they're organized, and space details, and what members worked on it, and what tools they used to make it. So you can get some, you can understand how they built it, but he's not talking about step one, buy a balloon, step two, mill this to this specification. He's saying, this is Louisville, this is something they did, you know,
okay.
And he takes other projects.
Here's the project, here's the hackerspace that did it.
Right. Here's, you know, bronze metal blast furnace. And what is it? Bronze. It's Quad City Colab in where are they? Davenport, Iowa.
I have not been there.
No.
We should go.
We should totally go. We love visiting spaces, everyone. So send us an invite. Put us up for a weekend. But so anyway, the book is awesome. Hack This, 24 Incredible Hackerspace Projects from the DIY Movement. The same author wrote The Cult of Lego, and he's a contributor for Make Magazine and Wired.
Uh-huh.
So he's been around, and the foreword of the book is written by Dale Doherty, who founded Make Magazine.
Okay.
So they're really, again, the book is more, it does a lot to talk about the hackerspace movement in general.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could fault him for anything, it's that in the book, the author seems to like to give very specific responses to how things came about, when I honestly believe it's a little more fluid. He would tell you that Edison invented the light bulb.
Right.
So, well, the light bulb existed before Edison, but we'll glaze over that and tell you that Edison invented the light bulb. But other than that, I mean, if you are involved in hackerspaces or want to get involved in hackerspaces, this is a great book, and it's not that expensive either. So,
how would you rate it?
I would rate it
5 out of 10, whatever.
I would rate it 4 out of 5 stars.
Cool.
Yeah. Yay, book review.
Yeah.
We'll do that more often, maybe. But anyway, that's cool. What I have to say. But any other questions, comments? Some of you looked at it, but. And it's
what did you like about it, Nathan?
It was pretty.
Yes, it's a very pretty book.
Because they use glossy paper.
It was. No, I liked. There's a lot of hacker spaces that I've talked to people from, or you know, seen pictures of, and you see them in this book, and that's just really cool to see. I guess a published book.
The media change there.
That,
yes.
Yeah. That actually gets some of
it makes
what
it real
we're
world,
doing
yeah.
out there. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's the second best thing to seeing yourself in a book. that's actually something that excited me. We could touch on. We've touched on another book, Hackerspace is the Beginning, which we are in, by the way. And that one was created quite a while ago, but was only ever put out as a PDF, really.
Yeah.
And it never went to print. And I would tell you that looking at the PDF, it would be a beautiful book. I would love to see that printed, but it hasn't been. But
print
this
it.
One, this,
print it,
this hack, this is a bit. I don't have that kind of money. Not to print it beautifully, anyway. I mean, we got a printer back here, right?
Right.
I could print the book.
You could print it and then like
leave it here.
Like auction it off to
Ooh.
Other hacker spaces.
Will Kinko's give us a quote on that?
I mean, I'm sure they'll give us a quote on that.
Like, get a nice binding for it and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe update it a little bit. She said that she would give out everything, like the source code or the source code, but the...
Right,
the
everything she worked on. Templates.
Yeah, basically.
Open sourced books. Awesome. But, yeah, I bought this on Amazon. You can go buy it. I put a link.
Cool.
Did you put our Maker's
put
Local
our
link?
Link. I should do that.
I will change that so we get credit for it.
Excellent. Okay.
Speaking of which, anybody can sign up as a business. Well, if you have the business ID or the tax ID on Amazon and become a reseller of anything, as long as you have your little tag at the end of the link.
Yep.
So Nathan is about to do that for us. So hopefully we'll make a couple of bucks when one of you guys out there buys this book.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because I just dropped the link in the channel. And then one of our bots in the channel
gives you
says like what the link was, like the header of the link,
the title,
and then gives you a short URL, which is actually the Amazon link with our thing tagged on the end of it. So
that's Poundmakers Local on IRC Freenode.
On Freenode. plug. Shameless
plug. So it's what's House for Hack doing, or what did they do?
There's a House for Hack hackerspace in Johannesburg won the Google Plus hackathon by remote controlling a webcam and then strapping a laser to it.
Yeah.
So
what?
You can join this hangout on Google Plus and see whatever this webcam sees. You can move it around and fires a laser.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So
that is really slick.
That's a neat tweak of technology.
Who organized the hackathon? When was this?
I don't know. I didn't see much information about the rest of it.
Is there a hackathon this weekend or
third weekend of every month?
That would be this weekend.
That would be this weekend.
I wonder what they're talking about. What the thing is.
We can talk about that more in the event section.
We could.
Is it in there? Sorry. Am I jumping
ahead? I don't
think
it is. It should
no,
be.
No, it's not.
Sure. Okay. You guys keep doing. You guys keep talking.
Keep going.
We'll keep doing this. Keep doing what we do.
Keep doing. Do it.
So, remote control.
So, there's a link in the show notes.
There's an Arduino in there somewhere.
Probably.
Okay. Link in the show notes.
Yep.
I'm not seeing Arduino specifically. I just see LED and or laser and webcam.
I do like your show notes on this one.
Yep.
Remote control, webcam, Google Plus, lasers. Need I say more?
You don't really. Well, you could also say Arduino, because they do have the. They did use an Arduino to control the servos of the turret, which is then connected to the laptop.
Cool.
Which is then connected to their server via an SSH port, and then takes commands from the Hangout to be forwarded through the Arduino that actuates the server for movement and turns the laser on and off.
Cool.
So they use a 25 milliamp laser, which is actually pretty powerful, as opposed to the typical 5 and things.
Cool. So my next little story to interject. This was another hard one to pronounce. if it's pronounceable, the Bigaigi Hackers World Tour.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. What it is a Geiger counter paired with an Arduino and a GPS module, which gets strapped to a car and driven around. This was created by some of the guys at Tokyo Hackerspace. You may remember a disaster there that involved radiation.
Yeah, suddenly radiation came out.
Suddenly radiation. And that local hackerspace in Tokyo wanted to start looking at, like, okay, what can we do, A, to build a radiometer of some kind, you know, a Geiger counter, and then what can we do to log that data and open that data, you know, and create, map it. And so they did. They worked on a project. They put together, you know, the aforementioned pieces, created a logger, and they did a lot of work themselves figuring out. They didn't just, like, buy a Geiger counter and strap it on with duct tape. They really reverse engineered a lot of the Geiger counter stuff going into it. And I'm really just spouting this right now because I remember this.
Well, what was their goal on reverse engineering the Geiger counter?
Well, to be able to put together a Geiger
to count
counter
the Geigers
that they could, that they could then count the Geigers with. They can then map radiation around the disaster area.
Right, but you were talking about that they had reverse engineered the Geiger counter, but, like,
because Geiger counters are expensive.
Okay, so they were trying to get the cost down.
Yeah, they brought the cost down.
That's what I was wondering.
Building as much of it as they can themselves. Right.
Awesome.
So they did this, and you can actually go on their website. What is their website? Hold on.
You didn't put a link.
Like Tokyo Hackers.
I tried to put a link. No, it wasn't even.
You got, like, half a link in there. You got the title. You don't have the URL.
I screwed that up. I'll have to fix that.
You'll fix it in post.
Yeah, there's a group whose name I forget. Above and beyond the hackerspace now, who are, they're kind of overseeing the project of all this data logging of radiation and mapping. And what they're actually doing, they're pushing this out beyond Japan. They're pushing this into the world.
Yep.
Which is great, because it gives you more of a baseline. Oh, it's like, okay, we can look at a disaster area, and there's a crap ton of radiation around.
But is that
this
crazy?
But what is this compared to? So
what's Montana look like?
Yeah, right. What's Montana? What does Huntsville look like? So they
you can go sign up on their site.
You sign up on their site, and that unit, that one of these units, will show up at your door, and you can help.
It'll
map.
Count your Geigers, and you can send it on its way.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
It is neat.
You can hear my Reese's Pieces here. So.
So.
Found another interesting thing. Interesting article, interesting project that I had wanted to do, had thought about, had not done anything with it. And then I find out that this Dutch collaboration of hackerspaces have released their own space API. So you, over a JSON interface, you can tell more about your space.
Like your hackerspace?
Exactly.
Your building, your home.
Your building, your logo, your URL, your address, your contact information, your Twitter, your email, your Jabber, if you have it. Your latitude, your longitude. It's basically, they've just defined this giant structure that you can then pull about the hackerspace. Like whether or not it's open, what they have for upcoming events, What is their status, air quotes there, what is their stream, if you can access their webcam stream or something.
Huh.
So they've packaged this up in a pseudo standard API that you can then pull in from other people, other spaces. You can then shove out your own, have other people pull it.
Definitely. I like that.
It's pretty cool. Follow the link in the show notes, and then you can look on the right and see that there's, well, because it's late over there, a bunch of places are just closed.
Yeah, I see. Rev space and random data and hack 42.
Hack space in there, hack random space. Data. Rev space, our friends over
cool.
there.
So are we going to implement this?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Does this solve the one thing that we've talked about multiple times where wanting to know if somebody's at the shop, if the shop is active?
Well,
it doesn't solve it, but it gives it an interface for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
As soon as we figure out what is defined as open, this would then present it. So this is a great presentation layer for attributes of your space.
Right.
But now you got to figure out how are you going to define those. Some of them are easy, like name and logo, but what is open? Like, are we open currently? I mean, there's a bunch of us here, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd say that
our general rules are that we're open, yeah.
Yeah, whenever there's members here, we're open.
But that has been an issue, and I think it's an issue that a lot of spaces go through, to define, to let people know that we're open, to put the open sign out. And I can't think of the one run-in we've had with it that I've heard people get frustrated about is our current system. We tell them to look at the camera. If there's something on the camera, there should be somebody here.
But the camera doesn't see everything.
Right. It doesn't see everything. It also doesn't give you enough time information.
Exactly.
Like if I look at the camera while I'm at home and say, there's somebody there, I drive over and somebody left. And so now it's not open anymore. But that's an issue that I don't think we're readily going to solve anyway.
Right.
No.
I think that's just going to be
we've had the
a
issue.
Fact of...
I guess it wasn't really an issue, but it was something that came about when we were heading out to Freaknik. We were getting ready. We were packing up, and there were some visitors here. And we were like, guys, we're all leaving, you know?
Yeah, we don't allow non-members here without members here.
Right, and we're all leaving.
Right.
Sorry. So it was like...
So you need to go home now.
It's like, we don't want to kick you out. We don't want to kick you out. Literally, we want you to stay, but...
We ended up taking them to dinner.
No. Right.
Yeah.
I've seen other hacker spaces. I think it was Hacker Dojo had a guest book. When you, like, right at the front.
Yeah, they got, like, a
kiosk
for it.
Click your member name on this little kiosk and select, like, how long you expected to be there. They also went as far as actually scheduling members to be there for certain times when they were open.
Right.
So then they can say, okay, we're going to be open from 8 to 5 every day this week. And then in the background say, okay, we need you from here from 8 to noon. And then we need you here from noon to 3. And then you here from 3 to 5.
Right.
And so that's how they've solved it.
But they've got the people there that willing and want to do that.
Right.
And that's the issue with us being a volunteer organization. Somebody would have to volunteer to do that. Now we've all got day jobs. But
yeah. Some of us have night jobs.
Some of us have night jobs. Yes. All right. Yeah.
Wanna stroll
like
on over
it.
To
I like it, we should do it.
API?
The API.
Sure. We need to quantify openness, though. We can talk about that later.
Done.
Then. Done.
We're open right now. Just cool. Ask me. If you have a question,
well,
just ask me. Just text me, I'll reply.
We're talking about open being... we're open for someone to visit.
Right, for visitors. For the public.
Yes,
yeah,
for
open
the public.
For the public.
Not like open data or open source.
Right.
Just like, yeah. Like, physically, location, open.
Yeah. Step inside.
You want to stroll on over to Random Wiki Finds now?
Random Wiki Finds. Okay.
I'm glad that music was kind of happy.
It was.
Because the first one is kind of sad, I guess. I was scrolling through some of the recent changes on NoiseBridge's wiki, and I saw this like suicide prevention page. I was like, that's weird, kind of, but not really. I thought it was kind of cool that your hackerspace like had this page up, so like, you know, if maybe you had, if you were depressed or something like that, you would have some places that you could get a hold of to help you with this.
Right, the page is outlining, like, here's some numbers, here are some people, and groups you can talk to.
Right, there's a hotline number, and then there's, like, a community of hackers to help you deal with depression.
Wow.
And I assumed, and I kind of went and looked this up, and I don't really know if it's has anything to do with that, but there was one of the Diaspora developers recently passed away, and I noticed that he had a NoiseBridge page, and they kind of put that up there. So I don't know if it was suicide. I have no idea. I didn't look into that. It doesn't really matter. I thought the suicide page was neat to have something there for your members to look at, and I guess that was kind of a separate thing that went under death. It's kind of sad.
We've had a member that has passed away while being a member.
Wait, really?
We have?
Yeah.
While being a member.
He was still a member, right?
I don't think so. I'm
so sure. If you're talking about who I think you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he... No.
He had gone away from us a while before that. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't want, you know, I didn't want to bring it down, but I thought it was kind of...
Bringing it down.
Kind of neat. So we'll jump...
It's very... It seems like a dark topic, but it's an important topic, so...
It's life.
Yeah, it's life.
Actually, I'm gonna not put that under. I'm not gonna put that guy under the suicide page because I don't know if that's true or not, and I don't want to make it look like it is.
Oh, no.
So I moved it. But anyways,
there was a okay. So what's we've got more random wiki finds.
We do. I threw a list on here.
We should backlog some of these. Sometimes it seems like we don't find anything.
It only took a couple minutes. I just have to sit down and actually go through some of it. I need to add more wiki, like wikis
add a list
to
of
my
wiki.
RSS feed.
So add a list of wikis to our wiki that we could. So you could look at wikis while you wiki.
Whoa,
yo dog.
Okay.
So the next thing I found was a. Pumping Station 1 apparently has an Epilogue 30-watt printer, a laser cutter.
Laser cutter.
And I just found it funny that you kind of scroll down and like one of the top
headings
is like, never cut these materials, like big words, and it's like PVC, you know, ABS, you know, fiberglass. Like, don't put these things in the laser cutter.
Things that are potentially damaging if you put them in there, yes.
And then there's like some
damaging to your health.
Milk bottle plastic. It melts. It gets gooey. It catches on fire. Don't use it.
That sounds like experience, Brett. That one about
it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Then there's just some more stuff about their laser cutter, which is kind of cool if you're looking at or have an Epilogue printer or cutter. I keep saying printer.
Yeah.
Cutter.
Cutter.
Which I know like Adafruit has the one, and
we need one.
I think
we
Milwaukee
so need
Makerspace
one.
Has one.
Yeah. Make There's It Labs has one. Okay. A bunch of them have it.
It's
we
it's
don't, though.
It's kind of a... Yeah.
We have laser envy.
Please help us.
Talk to
us
our doctor.
So, also at Pumping Station 1, I found an FAQ page. Or
for time travel?
What? No. It's a good movie, though. Yeah. It's just like about their... Hackerspace, you know.
I've been wanting to do that here, and I keep.
Can children come
off
in the space? You know how terrible. What? Never mind. You know, how do you offer co-working space? Just like a couple little FAQs about their space, which you know, like you said, would be probably kind of cool for any space to have. I know that recently we had a coworker asking us about our space.
So. I'm gonna read the one I think you tripped over. How terrible is Anne's disappoint face? No mortal has seen it and lived to tell about it. That's great.
We need a way for you to throw some distortion and echo on that board at will.
That's. I do have an insert for effect. That's true. We can do this. But
yes, I did.
No
I was
mortal has lived to tell about it. Okay. Anyway.
I did go, what? What?
What?
I'm just going to skip that.
But no, that's excellent. And I love that humor.
I want to say that another
stuff.
That we found this on another Hackerspace wiki page sometime.
An FAQ.
I don't know when it was, but maybe. I feel like I remember this idea.
I know I've been wanting to write one for our. I wasn't even thinking wiki at first. We should totally put it on the wiki. But holy crap.
Oh, we don't have any licensing information at the bottom.
Oh. So we can steal it, right?
It's not licensed. So I mean, I guess we could, but...
It's not. That means it's not copyright either. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I mean,
it's not copyrighted and it's not copy restricted. So
I would like to know. I would like all of our members to know that yes. that how terrible Annie's disappointed face is.
We don't have an Annie.
We could get her on Skype and do it on the podcast. No.
That's a little creepy. Hey, let's see your disappointed face.
Well, when you put it that way, yes, that's
we
very creepy.
We might not live. Are you
I'm
trying to kill us?
You're trying to kill us all.
I'm pointing out that you can't see us.
Oh.
There would be no video.
Right,
just
but hear we
silence.
Right,
correct.
And then we would be dead. Anyways.
We jump from one dark place to another.
Okay.
So the next random wiki find actually is from our wiki.
Yay!
One of our members was like, "You should put the we need a name page. That's a pretty funny page." And it actually it's pretty funny.
That's true.
It was a page that started in what was it March 11, 2007.
Yep.
About us trying to come up with a name.
So when did Noise Bridge open there? Sorry.
Details.
But yeah, I agree. It's especially, I'll tell you that this was slightly before my joining the group, but it's still great to look at that and see what the growing pains are and what the process is in a space.
I think there's
and
more
how
than
you
a
come up with names.
I think there's more than a few that like the name McDonald's.
Yes. Yes, McDonald's.
And I didn't realize that Cork actually came up with Maker's Local 256.
Yeah.
So
preserved there for posterity.
So anyways, there's a link to that. You can see all of our ridiculous names.
Hyper Moose Labs.
Out of curiosity, how did we settle on Maker's Local 256?
I don't know.
I think we wanted something that sounded like a union.
Right. Right, but was there a vote held, or was this handed down from on high? It was a vote?
I don't, okay.
Very
I didn't remember.
Democratic.
I don't remember a
vote. Voted on
it. Yeah. Yay, vote. But no, I know part of the reasoning for the name is that we wanted to evoke something that sounded like a union, but we're not. But
okay. And actually, thinking about the name, I'm thinking about the coworker that asked us about what is Maker's Local 256. You know, tell us more about your space. Mm-hmm. And he says, he also said that he reads the Make Magazine RSS feed daily.
Right.
So I'm curious if there was that correlation between Make and Makers that he said maybe you guys are related.
Yes, I think that's come up more than once for us.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of what we were going for.
Yeah,
with
could
the name.
Be. Yeah, mean, could be.
I don't remember.
It's so long ago.
I do remember that. Was like, we should put 256 down in case we want to have other Makers Local. We can have like Makers Local 205 in Birmingham. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
Makers
and almost had them.
That, yeah, and that even came up more than once was, you know, hey, how do we franchise you guys? You know, it's like,
just use it.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, so next up, this is the last one I had. I found a How to Party page on Pumping Station 1.
Nice.
And it's just like, so you're going to throw a party at the Hackerspace. These are some things you should probably think about, you know. Plan for who's going to be responsible for cleaning up the party.
Yeah.
Before the party. And then after the party, it's like, actually clean up your mess.
Make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Right. There's like announcements. Meetup.com, Facebook.com, mailing list, blog. You know, put it on the calendar. Get funding if you need it. Get donations. Figure out the music. Like all of those things that you know, pre-event stuff.
We've got something similar, but it's just like things to check before an event. It's right. Right. It doesn't have a cool name like How to Party.
That's true.
I should. I wonder if I can edit their page and add, like, you know, talk to Andrew WK.
Yes. I wanted to. I kind of wanted to throw this in here somewhere. Let's call it a random real world find.
Oh no!
So I walked into Radio Shack earlier today, and I know this is old news for some, but this the first time I was at Radio Shack and I witnessed the Arduino on the shelf. So
did you buy one?
There was some up in Nashville.
Yes, there was some in Nashville, but I had been going into my local Radio Shack on a semi-regular basis and going. Arduino yet?
So you
and I met with that blank stare because they don't know what an Arduino is.
So did you buy one, you said?
No, it's too expensive. I could get one for like $20 online or less.
Actually, I saw a Reddit post that was like a picture of a stack of Arduinos. And it's like our sales guy thinks these are amazing because they're flying off the shelf.
Yes, but he doesn't know what they are.
Right.
I saw that same picture. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's just worth noting. It's interesting to see how sales will do, how long they'll keep it, but it's cool to see that coming back into Radio Shack, I guess.
Do they still have, like, the thing where you pull out, you can pull out and, like, pick out the drawers?
Basically.
The drawers where you pull out.
Basically, components. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Oh.
Some of them have more selections, some of them have less. It's kind of hit or miss, and that's...
I know the one in the mall we used to, but I haven't been in it in forever, so...
Well, like, I would tell you, here in Huntsville, the one on South Parkway... The one on South Parkway has some, like, maybe two drawers. The one on North Parkway has, like, six drawers, you know, has a lot more stock of components, pieces, parts...
I know that I actually went there and bought something for a project for the doorbell back a while ago. But it was nice. It was handy to have. Like, you talk to somebody at the shop and you're like, you need this part. You're like, do they have that at Radio Shack? He's like, I don't know, maybe. You're like, run out to Radio Shack. Like, they do! Yes! Right. Yay! I don't have to order it online. I can have it today.
I can actually tell you that it's happened a lot to me in the last 5 years that they don't. That I will think of that. I'll go, you know, maybe Radio Shack has, I got to get this done now, you know, yesterday. I'll run to Radio Shack to find that immediate gratification and find that they don't have what I'm looking for a little too often. But,
sad
and I, yeah. I hold a lot of spite within me, surprisingly.
You should let that go. It'll cause indigestion.
I am powered by spite, though. Everything that happens in my life happens through spite.
That explains why you're so tired all the time.
Correct.
It's because you don't have a valve. Your spite can't come out of your belly button because you don't have one.
Correct.
You don't have a release valve.
But what I'm... So I had a lot of spite towards Radio Shack when they started talking to the DIY community again and saying, hey, what can we do for you guys?
How can we make profit off you?
Right. How can we make profit? It's like, now we're paying attention again because other people are making money off this. And I'm like...
Right.
I'm not impressed.
But they're a business, and they're
of course.
I mean,
they do.
Right. I can't be that bitter, but I can't take the high road here because when I'm crunching on a project, I will go to Radio Shack and see if they have something.
Would you rather order your Arduinos from Italy and have them shipped to you 2 weeks from now?
No, I'd rather download the sketch, etch the PCB, and build it myself.
Well, that's. See, that's worth mentioning, too. And that also blew my mind. When you think about this for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Radio Shack is selling open source hardware.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Pow! You know, that's a little crazy in the history of things.
So is our Arduino.
No.
I mean...
They're selling... Okay. Radio Shack sells a CB, right?
Yes.
Is that CB open source?
Probably not.
No, of course not. Who would open source something? How do I make profit off open source? You're insane. You mean I'm giving my product away?
Yes.
You are insane, sir. That's bad business.
Yes.
But wait. It's 2011. And there are companies making good profit off open source hardware. This is a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it's
very much so.
It's not quite like getting it into Walmart and making it that ubiquitous within America, but it is in Radio Shack. So that's interesting. Hooray. I now feel like I have interjected energy into the podcast.
Yeah, but like Arduino isn't open source hardware licensed in a fashion like the GPL where you have to distribute the source as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but sure, they're making money off open source hardware, but what they're not telling you is that you can go download the Freeduino stuff and do it yourself.
I suppose not, yeah.
You okay over there, Nathan?
Yeah, I sometimes convenience is awesome.
And oh, absolutely. I mean, that's
really, I mean, yes, it's cool that they're selling open source hardware. But I don't really see it that big of a deal. I guess because we've been buying Arduinos for how long?
So of course.
Years.
Yeah.
That was my other spiteful point. I put my own, I don't think I put this anywhere else. It's probably on Facebook or something. But my thoughts towards Radio Shack when they announced this was just that we've been getting along fine without you this long. But anyway. So.
But right. But for a while there, I think there were not as many people as there are now trying to get into electronics and get into a lot of this gear stuff. So
that's likely true.
Radio Shack did good to sell cell phones because that's where their money came from.
Correct.
And now that they've moved, now that the people have moved beyond like the cell phone, like ooh, the cell phone is the new gadget. Radio Shack can move beyond that now. So I don't know. Whatever.
You're right. You're right. At the end of the day, they're a business, and I hope this makes them money because it is exciting to see.
Yeah, they're spreading the good word of the Arduino.
Yeah.
So next up we have events.
Yeah, yeah, events.
You wanna
pump us?
Okay.
Delightful lock music.
I guess I put both of these up, didn't I? Yeah. So this Saturday at noon, and do I sound weird? We've gone through this whole podcast. I sound weird. Anyway.
Nah, you're fine.
You sound like Tim.
So this Saturday at noon, Mid-South Makers in Memphis, Tennessee. If you happen to hear my voice and you happen to hear this and be in the area.
Or drive cross country to get
drive
there.
Drive cross country to get there. They're doing a light amplification tour. They're basically a class on lasers. Yes.
Ooh.
They're going to talk about
that's neat.
Working with lasers, making lasers, using lasers.
Speaking of lasers,
yes.
This is completely off, not really off topic, but not in the events section.
Way to hijack lasers. His thing.
It's all good.
On Hackaday, there was somebody who had this crazy like laser light show in a suitcase, and not in a suitcase, in like a briefcase.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
It amazing.
It made the rounds. Adafruit blog, make blog.
Right. It Hackaday. Was really cool.
Yes, I was. That was an
put
impressive
a link in the
project.
Show notes. Okay. I haven't seen it.
I would have. It was a very cool project. I would have referenced it myself. If it were related to a hackerspace.
Right, but you talked about lasers, so I
okay.
Can burn.
We could burn. I'm not, I don't mean burning. I don't mean.
You talked about lasers, and that was
correct.
A cool laser. That's all I'm
cool
going
laser.
For.
Cool laser.
He may mean melting. Check the items not to laser. Is Nathan on there?
So if you want to learn more about lasers, and you're in Memphis, I implore you to check out the Mid-South Makers.
This Saturday
at noon.
You're going to pay them to go?
No, not employ them, implore them.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
This Saturday is the 19th.
I misheard.
This Saturday
November.
The 19th of November.
2011.
So when you are listening to this and it's
era.
The future, do
you
we have jetpacks yet? No, I'm kidding.
Email if you do.
Email if you do. Okay. Next event is much, you've got more time to prepare for this one. it's a hardware hackathon at AS20 Labs in Providence, Rhode Island. This will occur January 28th and 29th of 2012.
A little bit out there.
A little bit out there, but But they were getting the word out early, so I saw it, and I'm now relaying it to you. I put a link in the show notes.
Any idea what's going to be going on there? Well, hardware hackathon?
Right.
Is there a central goal, or is it just bring some hardware and we're going
to
dig around with it?
Right. There doesn't appear to be a central goal, although some of what they specifically, like what they're offering to begin with to get you started, they're talking about the NetDuino.
Cringe.
You know, yes, cringe. I agree. But here, you know, they'll, you know, learn more about
it's a
the
start.
NetDuino.
It's a start.
Here you go. Or if you want to, what is this, KipKits? Will be on hand as a sponsor. Okay. So there'll be a kit company that will be there selling kits. You could buy a kit and build the kit in your hardware hackathon.
Oh, neat.
Other than that, they're just getting together to hardware hack. I would get more into how this is being sponsored or what groups are doing this, but it confuses me a little. Beta Spring is sponsoring the event, but they're not a space. AS20 Labs is the space where this is happening. If you would like to know more about it, check the link in the show notes.
I want to research these KipKits later.
Yeah, I agree.
It says KipKits enable devices to heat, cool, measure, move, and control things around you. That's cool.
Cool products coming
Nathan,
soon.
Nathan, you got something on here.
I do. I added the synchronized hackathon, just a link to it. There's not really much there right now. Neat fact, I guess, is that the synchronized hackathon this month will be 2 years old.
Hey.
That's also this Saturday. Well,
yep.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday,
right.
Saturday, Sunday.
That's, yeah, starting the 19th. So I guess, is that just Saturday? Is that what they do? Yeah.
Yep.
There's usually a global hackathon, hackerspace challenge, but there doesn't seem to be one on the page yet. So I don't really know if what's going on, but I do know that it's the 2 year anniversary.
Excellent.
So
yeah,
I
usually
remember that first one.
Usually
yeah,
they
the first one was epic.
Hipster.
Well, it was.
Usually they talk about these.
I'm not stomping around the room going, "Oh, we started it." Sorry. Usually.
No, that's cool. Things. You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Done. So, if you like email or reading archives of email, they usually talk about the Global Hackerspace Challenge part of the synchronized hackathon on the discuss list on list.hackerspaces.org.
Yeah.
I know there was an email that went across asking for suggestions for the challenge this time, but I don't think they resolved that yet.
Okay. Cool.
So, if anybody out there has any ideas that they'd like to see done,
get involved.
Yep.
Get on the mailing list.
Just an email away.
Yep.
Yeah, and on that mailing list, Mitch Altman has Hackerspace passports for sale.
Yep.
In case you guys wanted one.
He's printed some of those.
Yep.
Got some of those printed, which are also open source. You can print your own if you'd like.
You can.
We've talked about these before.
Yes. Is that all we got, guys?
I think that's what we got, and I think we've been talking for a good time.
We have been. Wow.
So.
You want to take us out?
Sure. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or basically just wanted to say hi, you can drop by IRC or Pound Makers Local on the Freenode Network. You can also send an email to podcast@makerslocal.org. You can find out everything about us at makerslocal.org. Licensing is Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0, blah, blah, blah. It's on the bottom of the page.
Always so excited to say.
It's free.
Thanks for listening.